Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. The system is collapsing, so the ruling elite has declared war on its critics. Alas, the latest battlefield is the internet, and the good guys' forces are in trouble. Chris Hedges explains. I hope you'll stay tuned. Once again, the annual Left Forum had a star-studded cast, and today we shall hear one of its stars, Chris Hedges. Well, they're stars to me, though probably most Americans have never heard of any of them. And there's a reason for that. But let's back up a step. The Left Forum is an annual conference of progressive and left-wing speakers. They give papers, participate in panel discussions, and so forth. Throw in a few musical performances, and maybe a theater piece and a film or two. Interested people can attend this three-day convention and listen, and many do. This conference is held every year in New York City in the late spring. The 2018 Left Forum included a session featuring talks by Glenn Ford, Paul Stewart, Chris Hedges, and Bruce Dixon. Each was invited to address the general topic, Imagining a 21st Century Left. Hedges addresses this topic rather obliquely, shall we say, which is fine, as he starts out on a track that is even more interesting. Here's some background from me. We all know that all radical and all progressive and even most really liberal voices have been excluded from the corporate-controlled print and broadcast media. These voices have also been banned by the corporate-funded so-called public broadcasting system and the corporate-funded National Public Radio. What's left? Well, so far, the corporate establishment has been unable to keep progressive voices off the internet. And the internet is mainly where people are turning for alternative news and commentary. Not the only place. Let me also put in a plug for non-commercial community radio stations. You can find alternative views here. And sometimes on public access cable TV, too. But I think the internet is where most people get most of their progressive news and opinion. On the internet, we might read online progressive magazines like Truthdig or Counterpunch. We might visit more focused websites like Black Agenda Report. Or we might just whip out a search engine and see what some particular commentators we like have to say. Now, the people who run the show are waging war against progressive speakers and writers on the internet. Their most recent victory was at the Battle of Net Neutrality. Bye-bye to that. But they've been attacking on another front, too. They own the search engines, and they control the algorithms behind the search engines. And all of a sudden, the search engines are turning up far, far fewer hits for progressive writers and speakers than they used to. That's a new one on me, but everyone on Hedges' panel, Paul Street, Glenn Ford, and Bruce Dixon, agree. Yep, that's what they're doing. And they've got the statistics to prove it. Hedges then broadens his view to show how controlling the information you can find on the internet is consistent with a lot of other recent changes, including even the rise of the religious right, of all things. What's it all about? Hedges says it all comes down to this. The system is collapsing, particularly the financial system, but let's not forget the ecosystem. The people who control the system don't want you to understand what is happening. They don't want you to understand why it is happening. They especially don't want you to understand who is to blame. So, they are trying to control all the sources of information. And we need to stop it from happening. At the Left Forum in June 2018, flanked by Paul Street, Bruce Dixon, and Glenn Ford, here is Chris Hedges.
So it's nice to be on a panel with three writers who I read and admire. That's got to be pretty rare. And I fully embrace, of course, everything both Paul and Glenn said. And I want to just take about 10 minutes to focus on something that is unfortunately of great concern to all three of us, and that is a very well-orchestrated and potent campaign of censorship against the kind of critique that Bruce and Glenn and Paul and I make. It began with the appearance of a shadowy website called Prop or Not, Propaganda or Not, that not surprisingly, Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, put on the front page of the Washington Post. It listed left-wing sites, including every site that I write for or that republishes my work, the same with Paul, and of course Black Agenda Report, as being agents of the Russian government. Truthdig, where I have a weekly column run by the great Bob Scheer out of Los Angeles, got lawyers to contact the Washington Post because these were anonymous. These threats were made anonymously. Nobody ever self-identified who was behind this site, or we can all guess. And the Washington Post stonewalled, refused to, although they said they knew who was behind Prop or Not, they refused to identify to us who those people were. They suggested that we contact Prop or Not to try and get ourselves off the list. Remember, these are all anonymous accusations, which I should emphasize are completely untrue. And we got nowhere. This was followed by the director of National Intelligence report in January of a year ago, where 7 pages of that report attacked RT America, where I have a show. And it's worth pulling up and reading, because those 7 pages detail exactly why all of us and those of us who take this critique are being targeted. And that has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do, in the language of that report, the fact that on RT America and, of course, on these sites, we are giving voice to anti-fracking activists, Black Lives Matter. I just had John Kiriakou on my show, the security and surveillance state. And when Clapper went before the Congress in his hearing, I got a call from Ralph Nader, and he said, you'll probably read what he said, but don't read it. Pull it up and watch it. Because when they start asking him about RT, it's not just the words that he uses, but the venom, the anger, the rage. And so, built around this idea of fake news, Russian agents, we saw a year ago, April, the imposition of algorithms by Google, Facebook, Twitter that blocked what are called impressions. So, for instance, if you typed in imperialism and Glenn had written an article on imperialism, it might have been before that you would be directed to that article. No more. So, for instance, in the site that I work for, Truthdig, we have a graph of referrals by impressions off of Google, and it has dropped from over 700,000 to below 200,000 as they perfect these algorithms. You've seen the World Socialist website, their traffic has dropped by 80%. Truthdig's traffic has dropped by alternate 63%. I don't know. Do you have a figure for Black Agenda Report?
We don't have an exact figure, but it's more than half.
More than half. But anyway, all of these sites are being targeted. Now, why? And I think you have to look at what's happening in concert. And as Glenn correctly pointed out, there is a great deal of rage expressed towards a system, what Sheldon Whelan calls inverted totalitarianism, what John Ralston Saul has identified as the corporate coup d'etat, that serves the interests of a tiny cabal, which is now being turbocharged under the Trump administration, with these kind of corporate kleptocrats looting, stealing, pillaging, as fast as they can on the way down. And so suddenly critics such as us, who have already been marginalized, pushed to the fringes of the internet, become dangerous because they really don't, the neoliberal advocates don't have a counter argument. And so the counter argument has to be shut down, which is, of course, what net neutrality, the abolition of net neutrality, is about. It means that, we're already on the outer reaches of public discourse, but through net neutrality, they can essentially, by tiering the levels, the levels by which you can access sites, they can push us all into a black hole. And that's what's happening as we speak. And it's very frightening and very dangerous. I walked through the halls here and somebody came up and started going after me for being on RT. I didn't go on RT by choice. I went on RT because we don't have a functioning system of public broadcasting where people who don't work for a corporation or the defense industry or are a former flack for some president should have a voice. But public broadcasting in this country has completely broken down. PBS is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Koch brothers. The Kochs sit not only do they control PBS and the NewsHour, which is why it's so banal and so boring, but they also sit on the boards of a lot of radio stations like WGBH in Boston and others. And this has become a war of information. And because these critics essentially have no credibility left, their only response is silencing anti-imperialist and anti-capitalist critics, which is what all of us are enduring. As Paul correctly pointed out, the system, the financial system of global speculation is completely unsustainable. I'm not an economist. I don't know when it's coming. But at a certain point, it's going to implode. And as Nomi Prinz points out, the difference between the next meltdown and the 2008 meltdown is that they have no plan B. They can't reduce interest rates to virtually zero because they've already introduced rates to virtually zero. They have built an entire economic system on what Marx called fictitious capital, i.e. the fiction that money makes money, that you don't have to manufacture or produce anything. So the kleptocrats get their tax cut, And what do they do with the money? They buy back their stock because it inflates the stock value to which their compensation packages are tied. They borrow tremendous amounts of money, and they don't actually invest it into the economy in a traditional way. They hoard it, or they use it to carry out punishing debt peonage on the rest of the population, because even though they borrowed it at 0% interest, it does have to be paid back. And so that is why if you are late on your credit card bill, it jumps to 28%. That is why even if you are fortunate enough to have health insurance, you are hit with this fee, that fee. That is why utility prices are through the roof, including the monopolies that we have like Comcast. That is why students are being burdened with student loans, the largest personal debt in the country. But ultimately, it's not a sustainable system. And the danger, as many economists have pointed out, is that this time around, you are going to watch an attack or an assault by, in a multipolar world, China, Russia, the Middle East. We already saw, you know, one of the reasons they're going after Iran is they no longer use the dollar as the reserve currency, by the way. And at a certain point, the propping up of the dollar by making it the reserve currency will collapse. And the economy in the United States will go into freefall. And if you want to know what happens economically when your currency is no longer the reserve currency, look at what happened in Britain in the 1950s when the pound sterling was removed as the reserve currency. Suddenly, imports become extremely expensive. Nobody wants to buy treasury bonds. The borrowing that we carry out to maintain empire, we have expanded beyond our capacity to sustain empire. It falls in on itself with tremendous internal unrest, especially by a population that doesn't have access to information that is able to explain to it what's happened. And that gives, of course, potency to demagogues. I think as Noam Chomsky correctly points out, don't be too excited about impeaching Trump because you're going to get Pence. And as Noam says, Pence is worse. And I spent 2 years, first of all, I'm a seminary graduate, although I went to Harvard Divinity School, which has probably produced more atheists than any other seminary in America. But I wrote a book on the Christian right. I spent 2 years with them. And when I say 2 years with them, I did it the way W.B. Du Bois did the Philadelphia Negro or Souls of Black Votes. I went and sat through entire weekend, pro-life weekends and creationist seminars. I took a seminar on evangelism explosion with D. James Kennedy. So I was in these mega churches all over the country. And the title of the book is called American Fascists: The Christian Right and the War on America. I was trying to reach out to them. And I didn't use the word fascist lightly. In fact, I went to Fritz Stern, who wrote The Politics of Cultural Despair, grew up in Nazi Germany, to allow him over several hours to argue me out of the word. And then I went up to Paxton in Colombia, who wrote The Anatomy of Fascism, the scholar on Vichy, and did the same thing. And you can buy the book, so I won't go into a long discussion of it, but it functions as a fascist entity with the fusion of religious symbols with the iconography and language of nationalism, which is precisely what the German Christian Church did under the Nazis. And you have a white male megachurch, usually a millionaire, who is in direct touch with God. It replicates cults in that you have the feel-good service where you're all drawn in and everybody sings and loves you and you have disciples. And that's the public kind of Venus flytrap, and then you are sucked into the systems of indoctrination where you're severed from your family, all your recreation time, all your educational time, all your is, and Hannah Arendt writes exactly about this as an element. But most, the most important commonality with totalitarian system is the magical thinking. All totalitarian systems are, have magical thinking. And Trump has no ideology. He doesn't have enough of a brain to have an ideology. But into that vacuum, that ideological vacuum, we're already watching the Christian right. And should we get collapse without a rational, open debate, an open society, critics of the system are not going to have a voice. The only voice that's going to be amplified are the amplification of demagogues, racists, nativists, and Christian fascists. And what we must not forget about Christian fascism in this country is that it has an ideology, it has an educational infrastructure, it has a media infrastructure, it has an infrastructure in terms of building cadre. That's what Liberty University and the Oral Roberts University, where I'm happy to say my book on the Christian right is banned, and actually in, has underground copies. And so I warn you that what we're facing in the months, I don't know, nobody knows when this will happen, the bankers don't know, of course, is extremely dangerous, especially given the propensity for violence that runs as a dark undercurrent through American society. The you know, all of the forms of social control that have been visited on poor people of color, mass incarceration, militarized police that use indiscriminate lethal force and terror, collapse of a court system. Nobody in the inner city gets a trial. I teach in a prison. They all have to plea out. And actually, the students I teach with the longest sentences are the ones who were fool enough to go to trial, usually the ones who did not commit what they were charged with. And they're given everything on their sheet. I mean, I taught a guy at Trenton. He had life plus 154 years, and he'd never committed a violent crime. So as Hannah Arendt writes in The Origins of Totalitarianism, the danger of a society that makes rights privileges, which is essentially what rights have become, means that in a moment of widespread social unrest, you have both the legal and the physical mechanism to impose that kind of tyranny, and tyranny is the right word for what poor people of color live under, on the rest of society. So I will close only by saying, and I can't reiterate it enough, that we have to be very conscious of the political system we live in. It is not a democracy. It is a failed democracy. Trump is not the disease. He is the symptom of the disease. Our institutions, our so-called democratic institutions, including, of course, the Democratic Party, which doesn't even really function as a political party in the traditional sense of a political party, have seized up and are utterly ineffectual. Every effort that we make to reform or attempt to work with these institutions is an utter and complete waste of energy and time. We have to look to South Africa as our model, and that means non-cooperation. We have to blow the entire system up. Otherwise, we are facing a species of very frightening corporate tyranny and ecocide. Thank you.
Chris Hedges with some sobering thoughts at the Left Forum on New York City, June 2018. For the original audio recording, many thanks to Public Access TV impresario Wilton Vaught. Find more of Vaught's good work at manyvoicesmanychoices.blogspot.com. I like Chris Hedges' remark that Donald Trump is the symptom, not the disease. Indeed, the ruling elite has no love for Trump, whom they consider unreliable and too hard to control. When the system's collapse comes, the elite may well be glad to blame it on Trump, and the Democratic Party will be happy to echo the charge. And the architects of the system that was bound to collapse will walk away, still free, still rich, still in charge of whatever is still standing. The college-educated will blame the collapse on Trump. The unemployed working stiffs will blame it on the immigrants. And nobody will blame it on the directors of Goldman Sachs, General Dynamics, and ExxonMobil. So it goes. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust, thanking you for listening to New World Notes. So far, you can still find us on the internet at newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Illegitimi non carborundum. Remember that corporate capitalism is not healthy for children and other living things. And please come back again next week. Till then.